My name's Keane McGarrigle.
My name's Evan Salmon.
This is Reviewables, the comedy podcast that examines the lowbrow pleasures. The lowbrow pleasures.
And overlooked moments of life.
Lowbrow pleasures and overlooked moments of life. We should have come up with a tagline that's easier to say. Today on the show, our special guest is
Colin McDonald.
Energy sources we like, renewable. Some suits are hard and others are chewable. Bank accounts while interests accruable. We believe that everything's renewable.
All we hear is lots of reviewable things. Lots of things to review.
That's bad, isn't it? That's your worst one so far. Okay. Welcome to Reviewables. This is the podcast where everyone slowly slides into terrible musical parodies. And it's the podcast where we examine the lowbrow pleasures and overlooked moments of life.
We do. We really do.
I'm never sure if we do, to be honest. I'm questioning it. We talk about stuff, though. Yeah. We do review things.
And today's guest specialta.
As they'd say.
In Irish land, is Colin McDonald, comedian, actor, bon vivant.
I think it's bon vivant, isn't it?
No.
I don't know what that means. What's bon vivant mean?
No, I don't know. I think I mispronounced the second part.
It sounds worse in Dundalk as well, doesn't it? Bon vivant.
Bon vivant.
He played at Forbidden Fruit this year.
Bon vivant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not Bon Iver, Bon Vivant, Dundalk tribute act. to Bon Iver.
That's just me reversing, you can hear that.
Oh yeah, I'm not sure if that's...
We left the window open because it's a very hot day here while recording.
If you can hear that, it is...
It's the loudest engaged tone in Dublin.
Yeah.
We'll try
someone's
again
on
later.
A massive telephone out there trying to ring a giant.
So, what's his name?
I don't know.
Trigger Happy TV.
About.
What was his name?
Dom Jolly. Yeah.
Dom Jolly. The massive phone.
Yeah. I'm doing a podcast.
Colin, what would you like to talk about today?
I'm not the greatest reviewer.
Nobody on this podcast is.
Yeah, I think it would be a very short career in reviewing. Because being Dundalk, I'm probably Irish, is that, you know, I tend to review things in one word. So, like, you know, I think it's an Irish thing, isn't it? You just go, hey, did you see that new film? You know, oh, did you see Wonder Woman? Or whatever? You're like, I seen it. What was it like? Oh, it's great.
Yep.
If you're really pushy, you go, it was just deadly, like.
Yeah,
And, you know, that's about as far as I get. So this is going to be a push. There's a few things I want to, you know, lash out today, but it's going to be a push to get beyond great and deadly. Like,
we could get to the shrug with grand.
Yeah. Grand, yeah.
Grand. Right. You know,
like me hearing that the World War One was referred to as the Great War, that to me was like a review of it.
Yeah. come back from the trenches. How was it?
Yeah.
It was great.
It's almost like an opinion piece.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where I'm from, you know what I mean? It's like, jeez, have we ever stopped banging on about that war?
It was no Boer War, if I'm honest.
Which
that was a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was tedious, Boer War.
Tedious Boer War.
There was lads writing poetry in World War One. That's what made it so great.
I always say, if large pigs want to fight, let them fight. That's what I say.
Is that like a remake of Godzilla?
No, the funny thing is, you're sitting there not realising that's a really bad joke on boars, you know, like large pigs. It's sitting there blankly going, I
got that
I
one,
just,
Ed.
I just had an image of giant pigs, because if you said let them fight, I thought about the Japanese guy in the Godzilla movie who goes, let them fight. It's like giant pigs fighting each other, destroying a city.
Yeah, you can't nerd your way out of that.
No, but that's where my brain went. I didn't get the pun. I'm really bad at puns.
You are. You're terrible at puns. Yeah, we established that last week with your Fountain of Youth pun.
I really regret that.
Oh well, it's there. It's recorded for everyone to hear now. There's no going back in it, Ed.
What's a fountain?
We were talking about fonts. Connor O'Toole was in.
Right, yeah.
And then I said Fountain of Youth.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's all it deserves. Yeah.
That's,
and again,
one word review. Actually, two word. It's not great.
poor.
That's just him being nice. Shite is what he wanted to say.
Substandard. Don't hold back, Colin. Don't hold back.
I won't hold back.
So what are you here to review?
Because I was thinking about stuff from the past that I wanted to, you know, think about. But then I realised that a lot of it was like stuff from when I was a kid. So basically I was reviewing my childhood.
Yeah.
So that's basically what I'm going to do, is I'm going to review my childhood and I'm going to pick certain elements of things that I used to be interested in when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And now, not really.
You're not going to just go, my childhood? Great.
It was class. Class. Yeah, check that one. That's good. At the end, then I'll give it a rating.
Okay, cool.
From,
we'll compare it to what
class
critics
to brilliant to deadly. I'm not sure which.
Yeah, we'll compare it to what critics said about your childhood then as well.
Yeah. Well,
let's see what the experts
say. The online reviews,
one-star reviews,
Rotten Tomatoes, the childhood years.
Yeah. One-star Edinburgh reviews of my childhood.
But that read like a three-star review.
He never looked comfortable in his childhood. He never engaged his family or an audience. Anyway, yeah. So
his childhood lacked an arc.
The first thing is what?
His childhood lacked an arc.
They lacked an arc. Yeah. I've seen it before. His childhood. I've seen it all before.
His childhood was derivative.
But the first is I have to start off with Toy Soldiers. Is the first thing I want to review. It's like I'm not sure Toy Soldiers even exist anymore. Do they?
They do.
I kind of think they do because of Toy Story the film.
Yeah,
I think they brought them back a bit in popularity.
Actually, yeah. Toy Story in general made kind of old, and that was a criticism.
I realized Toy Story came out in the 90s.
Yeah,
so that was a good while ago.
Like 20 years ago, isn't it? Yeah.
But even the 90s, like Toy Soldiers would have been old hat, because you had Mr. Potato Head and Little Bo Peep, and he had a Little Bo Peep for some reason, and a cowboy and a spaceman.
Slinky.
I mean, a Slinky is like the oldest fucking form of amusement.
When was the first PlayStation? When was the first old grey PlayStation?
That's the PlayStation for elderly people.
PlayStation was certainly out when Toy Story came out. It was about a year or two before, maybe 94 or something.
So you'd be on the cusp of maybe kids losing interest in things like, you know, soldiers and whatnot, you know?
Well, you had Mega Drives and Super Nintendos. We had a Sega Master System way back when, and the games are terrible. But before, before that, we used to just run around and be kicking balls at each other, and a lot of violence based
kicking the balls off each other.
And like our parents would be like, you know, they're kicking the shite out of each other out there. Yeah, well, at least they're outside. You know, that was the main thing. Even though we were running in, crying, beat the shit out of me.
He broke his leg, but in a healthy way.
He was climbing a tree trying to actually steal something from his neighbor's orchard.
Do kids build tree huts and fall out of trees and fall into rivers?
The kids around were
in shit. You know, this guy, do they do it anymore?
I think they probably still do. The kids around where I live build bonfires out of pallets and set the bin on fire outside the local shop.
Right.
So it's not there's not as many trees.
Yeah.
But I think there is still a bit of that when kids have spaces to play, but it is a bit more organized than it used to be. Like,
it's harder to do in the city, I guess, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But I grew up in Castlebar in Mayo, and it was just like we're going out to play in the estate.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And then we didn't go too far, but you were off.
Yeah, yeah. You were just
like climbing up trees and doing different
wandering,
and we're like 8 or 9, like
there was
a load of us together, so it wasn't
It would be kind of like, maybe it's I think we wandered away more.
Yeah,
you know, and your parents, if they were asked, where is it? Well, if they're within like a 5 mile radius.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? It's all right. They're not more than 5 miles away.
My dad used to go at the front of the house and cup his hands and go, Edward, and it'd carry over the hills, and we'd hear it, and we'd. Get on our donkeys.
Salmons assemble!
Or you'd fire the big fish symbol into the sky.
Someone needs us to wash our hands and tidy up the front room. Yeah, but there was a bit more of that. Like, you'd be grand, you'd go off and...
Yeah.
And we didn't get killed or murdered or whatever.
But
it probably still goes on down in smaller towns than that.
Remember gigs? Is that what you call them, gigs?
Gigs?
What's gigs?
What do you call it? Like a
Ryan Giggs statue.
no idea what that is.
I don't know why.
Put on open mic nights.
So obviously, the word gig is. Shit, this is hard. What do you like? A little car, a little go-kart.
Oh, yeah.
Like a bubble car.
No, a go-kart.
Like a motorized job.
No, you bet. How many kids, you know, build motorized go-karts?
I don't know. Really intelligent ones.
Like a plank of wood with two planks of wood across it, some pram wheels, and a string to make it steer. Oh, I don't mean mechanic.
An engine. Wow. Well, we've taken this lawnmower engine.
How old are you? I think I've seen that in The Little Rascals.
That's the sort of thing that used to go
like
on.
A box car.
People used to do that.
Yeah.
Bubble cars.
What's a bubble car?
A bubble car is a child's, it's like a plastic car. With a curved roof.
Yeah.
It's like a Flintstones car.
Oh, yeah.
But we used to play, I don't know if I mentioned this on podcast before, I don't think I did. Myself and my brother Johnny, hey Johnny, we used to play a game called Stuntman, where I'd get him in the bubble car, he's like 5 years younger than me, he'd sit in the bubble car, and then I'd push him down a hill, and he'd intentionally crash and go flying along the path, and we call it Stuntman. and he gets scraped and stuff. Yeah. But
hey, it's the life of a stuntman. It's the life he chose.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and he'd always like, and I'd say, right, you go down to the end, and when it stops, what you do is you just put your hand up and go, "I'm okay, folks." and that's how you play stuntman.
And if he doesn't put his hand up, you run.
Yeah, I run down and I'd have foam spray and I'd like, cover the car.
Was this around the time of Evel Knievel or that program about the stuntman? Lee Majors. What's that?
Lee Majors,
the Fall Guy.
Fall guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Fall guy. Yeah. And there was a Burt Reynolds movie as well where he played a stuntman.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember the name of it.
But that inspired a lot of people just to throw themselves off things, didn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, you said bubble car there.
Yeah.
Do you know that? This is nerdy, but sure. Anyway, there was like a factory in Dundalk in the 50s that made a thing called the Henkel bubble car.
Yeah.
And it was just a little bubble with, I think, three wheels on it. And it was made from the cockpits of, I think it's a Messerschmitt aeroplane from World War II. And they just took that all kind of glass or whatever it is, cockpit, stuck wheels on the bottom of it, a wee engine. And there's one of them in a little museum in Dundalk.
Wow.
Yeah. You can Google it as well. It's like it's called the Henkel bubble car or something like that, yeah.
So they just took them from these old planes.
Yeah, they were getting like cheap, obviously, because what with Germany losing the war and all that.
They're like, we have no need for these anymore.
Yeah.
But they've been war tested.
Yeah.
It's a safe thing to put your kid in.
Yeah. It's got shot down over Berlin.
If it's good enough for the Nazis, it's good enough for my Liam.
Exactly. Which is a lovely kind of link on now, because I was talking about toy soldiers, to bring it back from toy soldiers, which I loved because I used to melt them. This started off being, I'd melt them on the fireplace. Do you ever do that? No?
Yeah.
And you probably just watch them melt.
You'd watch them melt, and did you
sit
go...
Sit there like, with your hands, kind of rubbing your hands going...
You were Sid, the evil boy next door from Toy Story.
Yeah, more or less. And watching my dad's face when he'd stand on one, that was the first time I ever laughed, I think, was seeing pain in dad's face.
Yeah.
I caused that, haha.
And then making the dog chew some so that when I was playing with them, he was like an injured one.
Ah.
Yeah.
He's an injured soldier.
Yeah.
And then I moved on from those, they were like the bigger ones.
Yeah.
Then I found out when I was getting into my teens that there was little small ones. Did you ever see little small soldiers?
Yeah.
And you can paint them. They like come in like a plastic thing like Airfix used to come in.
Like Frank Underwood does in House of Cards.
Yeah, exactly.
With the little figurines.
I used to line them up. I think I had something like, I had like 2,000 or 3,000 of them and I used to line them up.
Wow.
2,000 or 3,000?
Yeah. And I used to line them up on a big massive table and board then that my dad made for me. And we used to line them up and then kind of tanks and all sorts of stuff.
Have a war.
No matter how...
Big fan of war.
Yeah, actually I was a huge fan of war, yeah. Because I like history, but like, you know, mostly war. And but like,
the exciting
my favourite part in history is when the wars break out.
I like when the people die.
I don't like these golden ages of peace.
Yeah.
They're boring.
I don't like that at all. They're the dark ages. That's rubbish.
The Renaissance, just a bunch of lads painting ceilings.
Ah, there was lots of stabbing as well.
The golden age of painting and decorating, the Renaissance.
I like the plague. That was good.
Oh, yeah.
That was good, yeah.
Lovely.
But the teenager never left me because when I put them all up, you know what I mean? Because I would take them down.
Yeah.
I'd put them up and then take them down because it's boring just to leave them there just staring at them.
Yeah, yeah.
God, I can't believe I just said that out loud because it's boring putting them up. So I never do it now. But you know what I used to do? The teenager never left me because when I get them all up and I'd stand looking at it and going, look at my handiwork, it's brilliant. Then I just start fucking marbles at them. And that was, that was the war then.
Cannonballs.
I'd throw a marble at one side and then a marble at the other side. Yeah.
The 4th Battalion has been taken out by Tom Bowler.
By an American Charlie.
For our younger listeners, those are types of marvels.
And there was comics as well, the war comics. Do you remember
those? The Victor.
Action comics.
Yeah, Victor and Battle. And, there was another
they
one.
Didn't those ones come in, like, they were smaller than a normal comic?
Yeah, that was one of them, yeah.
I think that was the Victor.
Victor, yeah.
I didn't really get those ones that much. It was 2000 AD.
I found a hardback book, like it was like an annual, and it was a collection of comic strips from all of those comics.
Really, yeah?
And it's I have it at home, and it's just, it's amazing. It's real, like, it's real manly.
Jingoistic.
Adventure stuff. Yeah, going to foreign places and killing.
Yeah.
People with darker skin than you.
Yeah, I mean, there was a guy called Charlie's War. I remember that one. I don't know which comic it was from. And he was 16 and he signed up and went to fight in World War One. And that was all about him. And it was all about the horror of war, but also the glamour and the jingle whiskey.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But the...
Take that, you crouch.
There's another guy. Yeah, there's another guy.
Fritz. That's Fritz. What the Aussie used to shout. Take that, Fritz.
Fritz. And the only English that the Germans would say, you English pig dog.
Well, they used to say, like, Raus. I learned some German from those comics. Raus and Schnell.
Schnell.
And my favourite, because I used to go out with a German girl and I used to have bits and bobs of German, but I threw in a few of these from comics as well every now and again. And one was, Mein Gott in Himmel.
Yeah.
So it's My God in Heaven. Yeah. So you're surprised you can go from a comic, but you can actually say it in real life. You can go, oh, Mein Gott in Himmel. But that's a surprise, that is.
There was one
German
as well.
Housewife.
When they got blown up at grenades, they always used to go, aye.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was A-A-A-A-I-I-I-I-E-E-E. That was the standard.
Will I get really nerdy and technical about
Do please.
I think that's the way that the Japanese
though. That is the Japanese
as
guys.
They were referred to in the comics, and we're allowed to say it now because we're only referring to another comic is Japs. Right? That's what they're referred
also
to.
You're allowed to say that if you're Pat Kenny on the late night show.
That's right. Yeah. And they used to die with aye.
It was the Japanese, yeah.
And the Germans used to die with an arg.
That's very true.
Yeah.
I stand corrected.
Those GHs all over the place at the end of this.
The IE is more like the Wilhelm scream, you know that?
The Wilhelm scream.
Yeah. That's a reference to?
What's Wilhelm scream? What's that?
It's a sound effect from an old 1950s movie where a guy falls off a horse and he makes a noise like, ah! And they use it in loads of movies, dozens, hundreds of movies. Wow. You'll hear a Wilhelm scream. It's like a sound effect that they always use in movies.
Yeah, and now it's become a thing that they deliberately put it in because it's like a little nod. Wow. Like Tarantino uses it and stuff. And,
but you hear it in Star Wars and...
Sound designers just love sticking it in and you never notice it till it's pointed out. We'll link to a Wilhelm scream compilation on YouTube.
Yeah.
In the show notes for any nerdy listeners out there who can listen to that.
This is very learny, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. It's not normally this learny.
Is it not? What's,
No.
Have I made it all learny?
You have.
Ah, shit. is it normally like, I thought, is it
fuck
normally,
you and your
like,
knowledge.
Nonsense.
Is it nonsense? Yeah.
Normally
yeah,
nonsense.
I can bring it back to nonsense.
Yeah. Good.
Nonsense.
Yeah. Because if we get too learny, then people will accuse us of being learned.
Yeah.
Learned.
We're in the middle of reviewing Colin McDonald's childhood. What age are we up to now, Colin? 14. You're 14 and you're still playing with toy soldiers.
Up to last week.
Last week. What was your favourite toy as a child? Was it toy soldiers?
Yeah, more or less, yeah. But like I enjoyed things like little nerdy things as well. Damn. When I think I never would have taught myself as being nerd, but then I obviously like things like Risk.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's not nerdy at all.
And my favorite.
It's pretty nerdy, I'd say.
Yeah.
I think the problem is, back then, nerdy wasn't a word.
Yeah, probably not.
Like
yeah.
now that's, they'd probably call it geeky or retro cool.
Retro cool.
You know what I mean? It's like to play Risk, you'd have some sort of hipster with a beard, no hair between his beard and the top of his head, and he'd be playing, "Yeah, I'm playing Risky. Yeah, I play with toy soldiers. I'm retro cool."
He'd just wander in with his shoes with no socks and say, "Hey, anyone want a game of Risk?" And everyone would be like, "He's so cool."
Yeah, what a, yeah, what a guy.
Risk went on for hours, though.
That yeah, was long. I think I liked it because of that. Yeah. And it was like, what was the bit down to bomb Australia, was it? If you got Australia, and then all those islands on Indonesia, whatever. And then you just built up like thousands of them. That, like, no one's going to get near you. You know, you'd never get near your objective, but no one's getting near you.
Yeah.
You could just go to the toilet for about an hour. Everyone's like, "We missed your turn five times because it doesn't matter. You're just hiding in Australia." So, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a more fun version of chess.
A more fun version of chess.
Risk.
Chess is over a lot quicker, though, if you play with a clock.
Yeah, or if you play against someone who's really, really good, it's kind of boring.
It is. It's a very boring game to play if it's not a balanced game.
Because I had to keep finding people who were as bad at chess as I was just so we could have a decent game. Because sometimes you get beaten in four moves.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
You're just shit at chess.
Yeah.
Because no one seems to play chess anymore.
I remember
it's all online,
when I was at college, you just sit in the library all day and play online chess against people. But I found out the secret was to distract them into not knowing that it was a timed game. Right. And so the lowest time, I think, was like 2 minutes or 3 minutes. I'm not sure which it was. But you start it, and they might, if they've not noticed that it's a time game, they'll accept your request, and then they'll come on, and then you type something to them. You type, "Hey, how are you? Where are you?" And they're like, "Oh, I'm in Germany." And you're like, "Oh, really? What part of Germany?" "Yeah, Egypt." "Your fucking clock's running." And then eventually you go, "Oh my God, I did not notice that the clock was running." You're like, "Oh shit."
"Oh my God in Himmel."
And then they type, "Arg."
Hey guys, we are doing a live show, as if you don't know by now, at the Vodafone Comedy Festival. July 27th, 7:30 p.m. That's Thursday night.
Yeah, Ivy Gardens, Dublin.
Ivy Gardens, Dublin, opening night of the festival. So, big show that night. Dara Breen and Kyle Kinane, that's where I'm going after our show. So, if you're coming along to see one of the big shows at the 9:30 shows, why not drop into the Laughter Lab first and see us, 7:30 p.m. We have got Kevin McGahern, Andrea Farrell, Aaron McGathy, Rona Grace and Damien Clark on stage for your entertainment.
Yes.
It's Reviewables Live. Take this podcast and do it live. That's what it is.
Yeah, with an audience.
And a video round. We don't get to do video rounds on the podcast.
And
because it's
noises like
noises
that.
Noises like that.
And hey, are you coming to the Ivy Gardens?
Oh yeah.
That's why I rang your doorbell. Why, what's on? Reviewables Live. That sounds great. How do I win tickets for that?
Well, you can win tickets by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts and then tweeting us the link, or tweeting us using the hashtag ReviewablesLive and suggesting something we can review on the podcast. So, once again, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or tweet us a suggestion for a live review using the hashtag ReviewablesLive, and we will pick the best ones to win a pair of tickets each.
Cool, I'll do that. Now I'm going to drive away in my car.
Now back to the show.
But the other game, it's just, I don't know why everything's come back to war. The other board game I loved was, and it's completely discontinued now, and I'd say for a valid reason, is Escape from Colditz.
Ah, I remember that
one. Do you remember that one? Yeah. But you see, the reason...
I know of it, but yeah, I don't remember.
It was like, you had four people playing, right?
It was based on a TV show, wasn't it?
Well, it's based on
an actual war.
But there was a TV show of it as well, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
But all right, I don't know.
You had to collect up like rope or like
ladders or
different things to aid escape. Yeah.
But basically, your three people were prisoners of war, Allied prisoners of war. And this is the bit that I think why it's not made anymore. And one kid was a Nazi.
Yeah.
And I think that's the bit that kind of they went, we're probably not going to make this anymore.
You know what? These days, if you made it, but everyone got to be a Nazi, you'd sell it big in America.
Absolutely.
Those Twitter Nazis. They love it. Big shout out to the Twitter Nazis. Hey, guys. God in Himmel, Wolfenstein is all about killing us. Well, here's a game for you. It's called it's called the Fourth Reich. I don't know what the fuck it's called.
You don't keep people in a prisoner of war camp. You keep everyone you don't like out. That's what you do. Your prisoner of war camp is your country.
Escape from Colditz. I'd say that would be like an antique that if you had a one of because
we I only played it because we used to play it in the 80s into the 90s because there was a copy of it that's not what you say. It was in my grandmother's house.
Yeah.
It wasn't, we didn't buy it then, so I don't know when it got discontinued.
My favourite was when games got a bit older and then they all kind of got mixed up or bits got missing. And then you're like, Escape from Colditz, except it's like Colonel Mustard is escaping from Colditz.
Yeah.
Why is Colonel Mustard climbing the wall and escaping from this?
I don't even
you get
know
married to a Nazi in the game of life. My life has not turned out the way I planned it.
Steve Bannon's wife, same thing.
Review Who.
Review Who is where I've trawled the internet for the best and worst in consumer reviews. And it's up to Edwin and Colm to tell me what's been reviewed based on the consumer review. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to read out the review that someone left for a product.
Oh, yeah.
You have to
yeah.
try and tell me what the product is.
Okay. I've read a few. I think I know most of them.
And we have buzzers, so you
you've
have
read a few reviews online. That's fine.
I think I know most of them.
You know, oh yeah,
you know most of them.
I know. Just,
so we have two buzzers. You can have a choice between clown's penis or clown's penis falling off.
falling off. I like that one. Yeah.
So
a lot at stake here, and by a lot, I mean absolutely nothing.
Here's the first review. Unfortunately, this book did not have Prime delivery, so by the time I got it, I had already gone blind and could not read it. I did, however, find an alternative use for its pages. They're soft and quite absorbent. I'm already on page 67. Edwin?
Is it a book called How Not to Go Blind?
It's not, but that's not too far off.
Really?
Yeah.
Is there another review?
There is another review. Here's a quick review for it. It says, oh well, I wish I knew this before I got leprosy. That's not going to tell you anything. I just thought it was a good review.
That's the whole review.
Yeah. Okay. It makes sense when you hear the title of the book. Okay, here's the third review.
Is it Dora the Explorer?
Get leprosy.
Is it Dora for the 2017 album? It's not.
Oh,
it's not.
Damn it.
But I think she does deal with leprosy in one of her
episodes. Is she not a blind leper who goes around South America solving
the seeing eye
problems?
Monkey.
Yeah,
I've only seen
see
a couple.
An eye
of
monkey, what one?
Don't we all? I wish I was blind.
Yeah,
I can have one of those.
Stop Mojo. Gouging your eyes out.
Mojo, the helper monkey. No. Okay. Next review. Great book for fixing this deviant activity. I would give it 5 stars, except the book fails to mention that.
Is it something to do with masturbating?
It is to do with masturbating.
Hey, get in there!
I'll read the rest of this review. The book fails to mention that masturbation makes God sad, and the liquid that comes out of one's genitals are his tears.
Oh my God. That's, I don't believe in God, but now that he cries spunk, I really don't want to know.
The salty, creamy yeah. tears of our Lord.
I just read out the reviews, guys. I don't write them. The book is called Diseases Caused by Masturbation, translated from the French and published in 1760.
Translated from the French?
Yeah, the French is called L'Onism.
I'm disappointed.
Wow. Yeah. 1760. I think it's Onism. Still very relevant
1760.
Today.
It's been reprinted and you can buy it.
Wow.
There is one last review. This is by someone who didn't realise that it was, I suppose, being published as a joke now. I would never buy such a stupid book. Masturbation is completely safe. I'm a male and I love to masturbate all the time. And I'm 49 and still flap my meat.
You're not doing it right, sir.
Yeah.
Flap my meat. I haven't heard that as a euphemism for
flap is one of those words that kind of like, it's a sound that's in a, that's a word, isn't it? Like
yeah,
flap.
Onomatopoeia.
Yeah, is yeah. that that? Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
yeah. But it's,
I don't know that word. but if he's getting a flapping sound.
Yeah, that's,
if he's like an instrument, if he's getting a flapping sound out of it, I'd definitely take it back to the shop.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he does need a book on masturbation, but it's a how-to guide.
Yeah.
He's just got a lot of excess skin on there.
Oh, Jesus.
That's bad.
But okay, that God crying is fantastic.
It's some great reviews out there on the internet. Okay.
That's it.
There's another one.
Oh, one more.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we got time for one
tiebreaker.
More.
Tiebreaker. I'm just trying to build tension here, Colin.
Oh, yeah. We'll pretend there's points and everything.
It's like third and fourth. Playoff in the World Cup finals.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, it's very exciting. Oh, who's going to win the third and fourth best playoff?
It was very gritty. I couldn't eat it.
God's cum. After some sand. He ate some sand.
Something sand. Yeah.
Much needed roughage.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's not God's cum. I'll go for one more, another review of this one. Bullshit. It tasted like a chemical, and I have been eating dirt since I was 5. I've never tasted this flavour before. Also, why does the bag say not for human consumption? It also made me feel strange. I threw it away, and I was not about to cause harm to my body. That's a bizarre. Yeah, it's a bizarre review. Edwin?
Is it flavoured dirt?
It's kind of. It's not quite flavoured dirt.
Is it dog food of some sort, no?
No, it's not dog food, no. I'll go for one more review of it. We have two more, actually.
Right, okay, cool, yeah.
I've ordered dirt before, but this is the worst dirt ever.
This is a review by a worm.
Worms just got the internet.
Worms online now.
Hey, and they're both typing separately from one end to the other. That's why they're so wildly different. Well, I think it tastes like dirt. I think it's lovely.
I've eaten dirt before. I know you've eaten dirt before. You're a worm.
Yeah.
Is this some kind
I've
of...
eaten it. It's come out your mouth.
Is it some kind of vegan nonsense?
It's really not. It's bizarre. It's grandma's Georgia white dirt. There's a couple of little descriptors for it. Smooth and freshly dug, direct from the mine. Grandma's white dirt is the original Georgia white dirt that your mama told you about. It's dirt. It's just chunks of this white chalky dirt.
Hold on, but if it's not meant for...
I know, it says not meant for human consumption, but people are...
Why are you all eating it?
Because people are...
I've eaten dirt before.
Yeah, I'm some sort of... I'm a dirt connoisseur. A dirtisseur, if you will.
But surely if you were a dirt connoisseur, you just, like wine tasting, you put a bit of dirt in... and then spit it out.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good dirt.
What's the education system like in Georgia?
Not very good, I would say.
Did they run out of peaches?
There's another review for it that says it's the worst dirt I ever ate. I couldn't swallow the small bite I tried when I received my order. It's a waste of money. I will never buy it again. It's dirt. You're buying dirt to eat it. This is weird.
It would have been nice with ketchup. Just douse it in ketchup.
It's like if you just had minced meat with no sauce or anything.
Yeah.
It's white dirt as well.
I could sell Dundalk white dirt, but it's dog shit that's been in the sun too long.
Someone would buy it online, judging by this.
Sun-dried tomatoes, sun-dried dog shit.
This is
sun-dried dirt. What'll I eat?
I know it has to be sun-dried, because that's the healthiness.
Because sun-dried dog shit is okay because, it's outside and that. But we'll say dried in the hot press dog shit is a little bit odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
The fact that you just take it and put it in the hot press and go, I don't like the sun-dried version.
Yeah. I like it this way.
Yeah.
I like to vacuum pack it.
But if that's in a mine...
I'm...
Like Master Chef.
Master Chef.
We're writing that down. That's
dirt and shit.
That's another TV show we can pitch.
Master Shit. What have you defecated for us today?
I just don't want to be the guy who goes around tasting it. That's all. I just don't want to be him.
Are you happy with the presentation of your shit? Well, I think I could have pinched it off a little cleaner. Thank you. If you leave the room, we'll taste your shit now. And then it's like, doom, 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 doom. Mmm.
Oh, God.
Could have done with a little more seasoning. They always say that.
Master Shit, brought to you by John Waters. Not the Irish John Waters, the American director.
Pink flamingos.
Dropping a pink flamingo reference there.
Could have left it in the oven a little bit longer. The natural oven.
Nature's own oven.
That's a new name for your hole now, but
the bowels.
Nature's oven.
Yeah. Nature's own oven.
Well, I think we've banished the learning part of the podcast there with us.
Yeah, definitely. everything we learned in the first half has been completely obliterated.
Guys, if you want Grandma's Georgia White Dirt, it's on Amazon.
Colm, you are a sick, sick man. Thanks for coming in.
Is that the end, isn't it?
Yeah, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
It's weird because I was a plug.
Yeah.
We're back on Bridget Naiman in.
There you go.
On Monday week, is it? We're back shooting on Monday week.
Is it Monday week?
Yeah, so if anyone listening to this is also acting in Bridget Naiman, there's a reminder.
Back Monday shooting. Week.
Oh, yeah. I just said we as if everybody. Me and Ed.
Yeah.
Colm and Ed, you can see them in Bridget Naiman's season 3 coming this autumn.
Season
possibly.
1 and 2 is on UK Gold, on Hulu, on Amazon.
On Hulu if you're in America.
Yeah, it's gone all fancy and been sold in various places.
People are enjoying it. It's getting good write-ups in England. People are enjoying the
But sure, they know nothing about comedy over there.
What have the English ever brought to the world of comedy or sitcoms?
Exactly, yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Thanks very much, Colm, for coming in.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
There we go. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
And that's our show. Thanks very much to Colm for coming in on the train all the way from Dundalk.
Choo choo!
So, don't forget again, Reviewables Live is July 27th at 7:30 p.m. at the Ivy Gardens. VodafoneComedy.com for more details. Thanks to SoCal for the theme tune. Ashley Norada did the artwork. Alan Bennett was the producer. We'll talk to you next week when our comedian friend is the guest, and it's Danny Ryan.
They're recording the podcast inside the building.
This has been a production of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.